Hey there. So you got to stay legal. And one of the things that you need always on your team when you're running a business as is a good attorney, especially in the age of a lot of intellectual property being stolen, ripped off, trademarks, copyrights, those kind of things. It doesn't just happen to movie stars. It can happen to everyday people. So Toni Moore Esquire is going to be in a hot seat today. Normally, she is giving advice. So this is kind of new for her to really sit in the hot seat today and really hear some good advice that will move her business forward so that you can really know the genius to who Toni Moore is. Legally Chic, Liga Diva. She has a lot of names. She's very, very clever in all of the names. So on this particular podcast, we're going to go over a lot of different things. But the main thing I want you to get out of this is to know about Ready, Set, Go, Speak and how we go over these things every single week, actually every day, about how to really get out there and get known. Because getting out there, getting known, having people know your brilliance, attracting your ideal customer, your dream customer is really what it's all about. But if you have a message that's not clear or your brand isn't really polished up as much as it could be, you could be really doing yourself some disservice. So every week, Lindsay and I, we will go over in a hot seat with our Ready, Set, Go, Speak community. They're going to be joining us as well. Some of them will come up on the hot seat as well and ask questions of Toni as well. But she is an attorney that is brilliant. So I want to just put that out there so that you know that, oh, we're bringing up people that don't know what they're doing. No, she totally knows what she's doing. I mean, you want one of the best attorneys around. She is the one. When we had our Speak, Sell, Shine, she was the one that I'm recommending to people all the time. She helps you CYA, right? Cover your behind, right? On those type of things. So I'm going to really bring up everyone. I'll bring up Lindsay first. And he's going to give us a little bit about background about who he is. And then I'll have Toni kind of like explain a little bit about what she does. Now, I'm so excited because Toni goes next week. She's going out of town. She's going out the country. She's going to Paris, but she made time to do this today. So I want to just really bring her up and let her tell you a little bit about what she does. But I want you to make sure that you go to Ready, Set, Go, Speak. Check that out because you've been like, well, what is Ready, Set, Go, Speak? We don't have time to go over that. We're going over the hot seat today. So right after this, I'm going to bring up Lindsay and I'm going to bring up Toni Moore.
Welcome to the Get Out There and Get Known podcast. Join Pam Perry, veteran PR strategist, Emmy Award-winning producer and publisher of Speakers Magazine, who will show you how to crack the code in getting out there to get known. Each week, she either interviews her media friends, PR colleagues, or she just goes solo, offering you strategies on publicity, publishing, and platform building. So listen up to hear how to get booked on media places and on superstar stages. Now, here's your host, Pam Perry.
Hey there, like I promised, I'm bringing up Lindsay. There you go. There you go. Hey there.
Hey, Pam.
Hey there. So I want people to know a little bit about you, Lindsay, because you are my coach. Every coach should have a coach. And Lindsay is my coach. He's a business coach and strategist, and he really works a lot with chefs that want to have their own cooking show. But give him a little bit about your background so that people will understand when we start really digging through their brand, like, well, where is this dude coming from? So give him a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. I'm Lindsay Ruffin, marketing strategist and small business advisor. These days, mainly I work with chefs, but I can teach and do train any business owner who wants to learn how to use YouTube to market your business and attract premium clients, because it's really the best platform for the people who I target, my demographic, Generation X and above. YouTube is the best platform for just being able to communicate as yourself the way you normally would with people in real life, as opposed to having to be a hyper animated version for TikTok or Instagram, where you got to do a whole bunch of fancy stuff in like 30 seconds or less. YouTube is the platform where adults get to have adult conversations at the pace and for the duration that you need to have that conversation. So that's what I teach small business owners how to do, how to use YouTube to market yourself and attract premium clients.
And one of the things too, your background, starting with IT. So you're not afraid of computers, photography, as well. Video editing. All, you're like a lot of computer stuff, geeky stuff. Well, like, yeah. I mean, you're trying to talk me into ecam. So you tried to talk me into ecam and that kind of thing. I was like, okay, we got a lot of tools. I said, Lindsay likes a lot because he grew up, not grew up, but really he is his first job with computers in the 90s. Okay. So that's the thing. So you know computers and you love computers and all the new things. So when you say a lot that YouTube is the place to be, you really know it because you've been around for a long time around this thing. And so you know a lot about all the different things that people have tried. Remember Vines? Remember people were doing Vines for a long time
ago? Yeah.
And that
Vine,
and that,
Periscope. That, all that
oh
stuff.
My God. Periscope. Remember? Oh my God. So I see some of the people. Eva joined us too. She's backstage. So I see Eva back there. She's part of our Ready Set Go Speak community. Tony is still getting ready. She's still in the green room over there. Okay, she's ready. All right. Welcome, Tony. Welcome.
Hello.
Hey there. So let everybody know a little bit about your background as well, in terms of where you started and how you ended up where you are now, right now.
So I'm actually from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I'm one of eight girls. My mom was married three times, a domestic abuse survivor. And as a child, I always felt like we were the oddballs out. Because it felt like she was the black sheep of the family and we couldn't really get it everything right. Right. So it was always in me wanting to her to be better, to be stronger, to be braver. And I would pretty much give her coaching. We didn't call it coaching. I was just bossy like that. And I would try to budget her food stamps so that we didn't have to go to the food bank. So when I went to Milton Hershey School, I heard about this thing called lawyering because they didn't talk about career day in the projects. But when I got a chance to go to a school and it just felt right, I liked it. And so immediately by the 10th grade, I knew I wanted to be a lawyer. I went to the Milton Hershey School. So my teachers pretty much coached me. We didn't call it coaching then, but they pretty much were like, Tony, you're smart. You should go to college. And I was just like, we don't have any money because we're on welfare. But they coaxed me into going to college. And so I went from the projects to the University of Penn and Ivy League school. And I pursued being a lawyer. And when I went to law school, it just felt right. Like my voice could be heard. I felt like I could right some wrongs. I hated being bullied. I hated that my mom was bullied. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to be a family lawyer. I did that for about 7 or 8 years. But then I got into, I wanted to be like the next Johnny Cochran. So I got into trial attorney work, but it wasn't until I stumbled into Primerica Financial Services, if you've ever heard of it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, no one ever talked to people about like the financial game. I call it the wealth building game now. No one really talked to us about that. And then I stumbled into entrepreneurship and I was like, oh my God, the whole time at Primerica, we're talking about mutual funds, assets, investments, you know, buying term and investing the rest. But wasn't until entrepreneurship when I realized that, no, the biggest asset that we can invest in is ourselves and our businesses. And then I got into entrepreneurship on the legal side, employee benefits, because a lot of us, if we're going to be millionaires, we get it from our employee benefit side. And I was just like, for me, I'm just like, I just want people to know the legal rules, not to run away from it, because all the whole time I was still always in litigation. And I tell people all the time, no matter what the fee is, it's still cheaper than litigation, you know, with regards to it. And I just have a heart to help, because as a child, you know, I felt like nobody really helped us. They patty caked us. But so for me, I'm such a results-oriented driven person. Mm-hmm. And I also love this thing called law, because I realize when people get the legal right and the nuances, then one, they get a chance to strategize. It's not just paperwork for them. It's just strategy that they have that they can now use law as sword and shield. And all of it is working together for my good with regards to it. So now my law is the asset that I use, that I leverage to help other people appreciate that they can too change their outcomes and change their income and actually to be a better version of themselves.
So one of the things on your form that's really good is that your biggest challenge right now is serving your ideal clients at three unique levels without undervaluing yourself. Mm-hmm. I read this on your form and I wasn't really clear what that meant because I was like, I don't know what the levels are. And then undervaluing is like, are you over giving? That I'm thinking that's probably what you meant. So tell me what that meant.
So I have like three levels. My heart is with the entrepreneurship because I know in their heart of hearts, most people are jumping into entrepreneurship because they want to do better. They want to have more. And I think at least like 40% statistically of people need some side hustle so that they can make ends meet. So I know a lot of people jump in and they have like partners and they start businesses and they don't know the legal side and then they get their assets jacked up, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's my heart. But I also know there's another set of clients that I get a chance to help, and they've already created six, seven, multiple seven-figure businesses. And now they're at another level where they're not necessarily going to go to a law firm that's going to charge them $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 a month, but they still need the law because law doesn't care if you don't have money. It's like, you got to respect the law, right? Respect the legal side of everything. So I get a chance to help those individuals in my client side as well with regards to the business and the formation and the regulatory compliance, but also reminding them as a former divorce attorney, don't skip the legal, because if there's ever a entanglement, financial entanglement or a business divorce, it could be so messy and it can be very expensive. And then the third level is I did employee benefits for almost 20 years, compliance on the regulatory side. So sometimes what I would try to do is to bring the regulatory compliance attorney into the entrepreneurial space. And most people are like, dude, what's an adoption agreement?
So where does the biggest check come from? That's always where I try to.
The middle.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. It's in the middle.
And then the heart is for the beginning people who are like, I don't know what an LLC, S Corp, C Corp, and that kind of thing. Okay. Absolutely. And then with employee benefits, can that be part of what you do for the second tier?
More like the third tier, because that's where they'll need something where someone's doing regulatory compliance, making sure that their fiduciary obligations are met, making sure that the employees are, you know, getting their notices pursuant to all of the regulatory code.
What I'm saying is like that we're really, so when I'm looking at it, we have two target markets. You have the target market of that entrepreneur that is just beginning, just starting out maybe the first 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then you have the six figure and the seven figure entrepreneur that needs you to really with strategy, not necessarily teaching, but strategy and really doing some of the putting into some of the things that they need, which could be benefits and that kind of thing, because they have money. Mm-hmm. So, and you said the biggest check comes from
the middle,
the second tier.
Yes.
Lindsay, your take on that.
What's your revenue target, either monthly or annually?
Ideally, it would be $30,000 a month. And the target is $375,000.
So your ideal client, we have not really defined, but we need to. Mm-hmm. And for your ideal client, what is your signature product?
It's the, we call it the CLC program, which is the Chief Legal Counsel program. And that's the one where I get a chance to help them do the legal assessment, help them with regards to reviewing contracts or issuing drafting contracts, helping them with their trademark and their brand protection. How much does it cost? It's depending, but it starts at $5,000 a month. Sometimes people need more assistance.
So what's the range?
Right now I'm at $5,500 for two clients a month.
That's not really a range, just from five. So the range is 5,000 to 5,500.
Well, some clients want more.
Yeah. What's the range?
Oh, well, Let me see. Well, I'm gonna just stick with the 5,000 because right now I have two at that 5,500.
Okay.
So you just need six clients to hit your revenue target.
Right.
And you got two, so we need four more.
Hmm.
So how about your marketing? This is what I want to talk about. So we're talking about, and I see YB joined us and Eva joined us as well from Ready, Set, Go, Speak. So we do a lot of marketing. We do PR. We do all of that. You do courses? Do you do courses?
Not really. I have courses, but I don't do live courses anymore. I taught for 15 years and I have a lot of courses that I can package and sell.
Okay. All right. So you do a lot of social media, email marketing. What is it that you are doing to get in front of your ideal client, which we only need about six a month at 5K, and they are doing six and seven figures. So what activities are we doing to stay in front of them and let them know about the genius of Tony Moore?
Mm. Well, I know I'm not doing email marketing, you know, I know that. I haven't talked to my people in a while.
Are you saying you don't want to do it or you're just not currently doing it?
I'm not currently doing it. I'm not saying I don't want to do it. I'm just not currently doing it. When I pretty much have a system in place when individuals come and they need some assistance, they get a chance if they want to come into my legal ecosystem and they get indoctrinated with a lot of information. And then I invite like for about a week or two. And then unfortunately, I don't follow through with saying, oh, by the way, because, you know, I spend a lot of time on more so on Instagram having conversations.
Is that the primary platform that you're using?
Yes.
And is that where the six and seven figure entrepreneurs are really hanging out looking for legal advice for that big time attorney that you are, right?
Correct. No, those two clients right now, they're referrals.
Right. So I would say your Instagram is probably that first tier client that you're having this conversation with.
Mm-hmm.
About, you know, like, you know, you need to trademark that. You need to have a da 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 da. You need an LLC. You're mm-hmm. having these conversations that, how do I say this? In a way that's nice, that is really, it's below your pay grade, right? Because they can't afford what she, so they're going to get they're trying to get the free information from you, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And you just need four more clients at five, but don't.
So Pam has frozen for some reason, but I still see.
Fabulous.
Yeah. So, yeah, what she's saying is don't be on Instagram because the people who you're targeting, that's not where they're going looking for your level of service.
Mm.
I would say you need to be either on YouTube or LinkedIn or both. That's where you're going to find the clients who have your $5,000 a month clients. And actually, you can charge more depending on what it is you're delivering for 5K a month, you may not be charging enough, which means you can get fewer clients and hit your revenue target. And then, you know, once you've hit your revenue target, then you're free to do other stuff. But we got Pam back now. So go ahead, Pam.
Yes. It's cold in Detroit. So I had the heater on as well and the lights. So it's a lot of juice being pulled over here. So what I was going to say is that Instagram is an amplifier. If you are in, I'm just saying, the Business Insider or the Forbes or Inc. or any of the business publications, CEO Weekly, that you know your ideal client is reading, then you can amplify those other things in social media. That also will work two ways. It'll let people know who are what I call maybe the people who will buy your courses, mm-hmm. know that you're above them. You know what I'm saying? Like they probably can't afford you, but they can afford your course. But you're having these DM conversations with people that really aren't going to do 5,000 and above to hire you to do the things, the benefits and all the other things that you do. Filing a trademark is how much money, just generally, just generally, if you were to take all of that and do a trademark for someone, what will be the net cost?
Well, I don't know about the net cost, but usually it goes for about $1,500.
And up.
Mm-hmm. And up, depending on what they want. Because sometimes people want more classifications or more trademarks, and you know, that's how it goes.
And you know all this. So before you were started your own Tony Moore, you know, your legal diva company, what company did you work with and what did you primarily do? Were you working with IP, your IP attorney?
No, I was a litigation attorney arguing. I got into IP because I do music law and things of that nature. And I actually, when I stumbled into the entrepreneurial space, I tried to get one of my friends who was at another law firm. I was at one and she's at another. And she said, they don't have enough money for our law firm. She was like, but you're smart. And I was like, but I do employee benefits and I do, you know, nonprofit litigation. She's like, Tony, you're smart. Figure it out. And I stumbled into it because I didn't want someone to get robbed of their trademark. And mm-hmm. I loved it. And that's mm-hmm. how that was about 10 years ago.
It was about 10 years ago. So you're mm-hmm. pretty much an expert in it now. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So right now I heard Lindsay say LinkedIn, and YB is here. He probably would agree with that, and YouTube. So are you utilizing YouTube at all right now? And how are you using it?
No, I'm not at all.
But I see you doing some Facebook Lives.
Yeah. So, what do you mean? I should just parlay the Facebook Lives over to...
It depends. What are you doing in those Facebook Lives?
Oh, we're doing like walkthroughs of maybe like a probate walkthrough or having a conversation with regards to how not to get your trademark stolen. Or so I like to do like kind of like legal walkthroughs of different areas of law, especially if someone keeps contacting me. I'm like, you know what? We need to have this conversation because it keeps coming up.
So Lindsay,
I would say, so I like that approach. Just I think there's a more efficient implementation. So instead of doing it, because live streams are a lot of work, they're a lot of effort, they drain a lot of energy. Whereas you can take this, you can deliver the same information in pre-recorded videos on YouTube, and it's a lot lower stress, and YouTube has a much better return on that. So when the content that you put on YouTube is there forever, it's YouTube will continue putting it in front of new people. So as long as that video on trademark law that you made, the law hasn't changed, that video is still relevant and YouTube will still put it in front of new people. Whereas Facebook, Instagram, all the other platforms, folks have to go search. They have to scroll through your profile and go dig up all this old stuff. YouTube will continue putting it in front of people. Now, as far as the live versus pre-recorded, you can make a 5, 7, 10 minute video. It could be 20 minutes, whatever it needs to be on a particular topic. And you can record that video at your convenience. You can record it at midnight if that's what works for you. And then you publish it whenever you want. And then you keep doing that. So you're putting the information out in a much lower level of effort from you, as opposed to doing live streams where, you know, you're taking questions live, you're hoping people show up and all of this. It's you can just do the pre-recorded videos. And what that does is people will watch them and they'll watch another one and they'll watch another one. They get to know you. Oh man, I like this lady, Tony. She knows what she's talking about.
She
does. Let me reach out to her and engage her for services. Mm-hmm. People go to YouTube to watch you talk. They go to watch a video for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour. Nobody goes to Facebook to watch videos. You know, you may have heard the term YouTube University.
Yeah.
You never heard Facebook University or Instagram University, because that's not where people go to learn, listen and learn. They go to YouTube to listen and learn. So if you're really trying to educate people, that's the platform where you do it.
Mm. That is one of the things too. I want you to, because you are an educator and you're very smart. Very. When I tell you, I know, Tony, that having an email marketing, I know you're probably like, oh my God, here she go. But to do it as a newsletter and put that podcast or that video in the newsletter. So even if it, the news, so don't let the email marketing like, oh my God, it's something else I have to write, but make sure that they know that you're there, because you told me once before, you don't want an attorney when you need an attorney, right? You want to be a little bit proactive with that. So keep serving yourself up in front of them with the videos that you have, the fresh videos that you have, a newsletter, if it's at least once a month, but you could probably do one once a week. The newsletter could be the theme of that video, and it could be like a recent media hit that you've had. So say you were in Business Insider, let them read about it. Say you were in CEO Weekly, let them read your story. Say you were in Women's Journal, let them read about it. Say you won an award, let them read about it. It's a way to keep educating that ideal customer that you have, which you only need at this point, you said six, but maybe you need four at 10,000. But you're now positioning yourself as that educational person versus like Facebook and Instagram. Not to knock those platforms, they probably have their thing. I mean, we're streaming on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube. But the thing of it is Instagram gives you a different type of customer where you are now. If you were just starting out maybe 15 years ago, they'd be fine. Okay, you get all those little whatever. But now you're in the game for a long time and you have expertise that is premium. You're a premium. You're a high ticket type of an attorney that people want. So if the customers that you have now, think about, you got it as a referral, but duplicating that check, YouTube will act like a referral, right? People will share your things. So think about that as a referral. We want to duplicate that check over and over again of how you got those two, you can get four more. But you're not going to do it. If you had said, well, I got those two clients because, you know, I did TikTok and they came and da da da, then I would say, okay, well, let's keep doing TikTok. But you said you get from referrals. So you didn't, the Instagram and all this other stuff you're doing, it's just draining your energy. It does help with visibility, but still have to be in front of your ideal customer. And that's what I'm saying, like email newsletters, doing the video and putting that together. And the other thing, Tony, that a lot of people don't do is, you know, when you have an award, make sure that you're like a Stevie Award or things like that, where you nominate yourself. And I've sat as judges for a lot of these awards and the people nominate themselves. So it's nothing wrong with nominating yourselves for awards. Okay. Eva, YB, you know, in order to get awards, some you have to nominate yourself, but doing a direct mail postcard. I got a postcard from an attorney the other day and I was like, how did I get this? How did he know I needed this information? And there's a way to really go about getting a direct mail email list of your ideal customer. So say you want companies within a certain zip code and they have to make over $1 million a year. Okay. Put your face on a postcard and get in front of them. They may not need it that day, but trust me, they will save it because you're talking about stuff that they're interested in. Okay. That's direct mail, direct marketing, talking to the language that you know that they talk in a postcard where they don't have to open an envelope.
Right. I got you.
So that is one of the main things, because I think a lot of people waste time doing social media because they see other people doing social media. That's really it. And they don't know the strategy of why someone is doing that. And it's like, oh, well, I should do a Facebook Live. Well, is it working for you? Or I should do Instagram Live, but is it working for you, for the customer that you want to get?
No.
And the courses. Now, if you do want to help them because you have a heart to help, your courses could be something that they can buy. Or you could do a membership site and they can ask you things there. You don't have to leave them hanging because you said you've taught for 15 years. And it cost you a pretty penny to get your education.
Yeah, and I went to law school twice, so.
Right, so why would you go give it away for free?
Yeah.
So I have a question here from Eva. Eva says, can you repurpose your live videos to share your recordings on YouTube?
Yeah, you can repurpose the ones you already have, but going forward, I would recommend a YouTube first strategy. YouTube is a media platform for your business. About half of people, is the largest video streaming platform in the world, bigger than Netflix, bigger than everything else. YouTube is the number one video streaming platform, and about half of people watch YouTube on their television. No other social media platform puts you on in people's homes on the big screen TV. So I would say develop a YouTube first strategy. Create your content on YouTube intending to be on the big screen TV in people's houses. And then if you want to repurpose content from YouTube elsewhere, you can do that if you want. But YouTube is the big boy on the block. If you really want to grow your business and have the greatest impact and the return on investment for your time, don't take stuff from somewhere else and bring it to YouTube. Start creating on YouTube, and then you can use that content elsewhere. But yeah, if you already have stuff that's good, you can repurpose it on YouTube. But start developing a YouTube first strategy, one video a week. And for you, Tony, you have unlimited content that you can speak on as an attorney. Like, where this is the free consultation. YouTube is where you can do your free consultations on in a way that works best for you. You don't need to schedule free consultations, you know, have an availability for free consultations. You can just refer people to your YouTube channel, and then anybody from, you know, who wants to actually speak to you, they need to pay even for a consultation. If they don't want to pay, then YouTube is where you have all of these videos. This is where your resource is. That is their free consultation. But if they want to get on the phone with you, there's a fee for that. So you should be doing YouTube once a week. That's where you can drop a video that makes people know that it's worth it to pay to have that conversation with you. And then, as far as email,
and then email that. Yeah.
You're sending that out. You're sending an email every week, not once a month, every week. If you're trying to grow a business, we're going to talk to people at least once a week. I send 5 to 7 emails a week to my list. And I got 10,000 people, and my list grows every day. Why am I able to do that? Because the emails that I send are useful to them. I'm not spamming them. I'm not trying to sell them anything. I am providing information. And I do extend opportunities to get more help, which means you're going to have to pay, but I'm not selling. They stay on my email list and keep reading my emails. And I send out a lot of emails because I'm sending out useful information. As an attorney, you have the ability to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Where else am I going to be able to get this free legal advice? So even if I don't need it right now, I'm saving these emails from Tony, because every time she sends me an email, there's something good in there. Either I know that's true because I experienced it, or she's describing a situation that I'm in currently, and she just told me to take this right instead of taking this left that I was about to take, and she just saved me from a whole bunch of trouble. So this is how you have the ability to send out emails, and a lot of them that people will want to receive. So we're not going once a month. We're going once a week, and maybe more than once a week. Because again, if you're trying to grow a business, once a month, you're giving yourself 12 opportunities. Once a week, you're giving yourself 52 opportunities to get in front of your ideal client and explain why you're the attorney for them to hire. So one video a week on YouTube, and for now, one email a week, and that may go up at some point.
So with the Ready, Set, Go Speak, one of the things that we're doing right now is the pitching. The pitching, whether you're pitching for a pitch contest, pitching media, pitching for business, you're pitching. So we are used to pitching. Getting really clear on that pitching is really important. So in the Ready, Set, Go Speak community courses in there. And then we also, too, we're practicing with each other. The pitch that I see that you probably did, and I'm going to read it to you and let me know if this is how you explain who you are. You're a businesswoman and lawyer who empowers women to tap into their inner power, their IP, to build and protect a legacy of wealth through entrepreneurship. Is that how you pitch yourself, or is that your tagline?
That's how I pitch myself. Yeah. Especially with speaking and stuff like that.
So your main thing is that you're women, I get that. Mm-hmm. And the IP, their inner power. It's also play on words, you know, intellectual property, you know, that kind of thing. So they hear that. And then you kind of, I'm just trying to get clarity. Then you switch me back over to protect a legacy through wealth. Now, either one, I'm thinking at this point, you're an attorney, but are you a insurance person? You see what I'm saying? It's like, okay, then you say through entrepreneurship. So I kind of want a little bit of clarity because I want to hire you. I like you. But then you said something where I'm not really sure what it is you do because it's a legacy of entrepreneurship. So part of that is like a longer conversation, but what can I buy from you is what I'm looking for. Like, how can I hire you to come in and be on retainer for $5,000 a month? I don't know if I even understand enough for you to be a person. IP I get, but then you said it was inner power. So I would like you to be in Ready, Set, Go, Speak to really help the clarity of it, because we have a lot of different websites and things like that, because this is a problem. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when we have so much that we do, that we're capable of doing, so much education, mm-hmm. certifications, knowledge, experiences, we can do a lot of things. And so then when we try to explain to people what we do, they get confused because it is so much, because you have so much depth. So I really want you to work on that messaging about what it is someone can buy from you that they're going to say, I need you as the person who can solve my problem. Because this part, I'm a lawyer and a woman that empowers women to tap into their inner power to build their and protect their legacy and wealth through entrepreneurship. There's a lot of other ways we could do that. I don't know if you could do it as an attorney, because maybe I just need to go to an insurance person, because it looking like maybe protection of life insurance, business insurance, you know, that kind of thing. You see what I'm saying? So it's like this messaging part, because even still, if I were trying to put you on a television station, what are you going to come in? I want to talk about, you know, AI and your business, how you can stay out of trouble or legal trouble, you know, those mm-hmm. is something that's specific mm-hmm. that you as an attorney can help people with, where it's so broad. It's like, that sounds good. And then they go on and they don't hire you, or they don't give you the funds if you're doing a pitch contest because right. they want to know. I got some questions over here. Michael says this is helpful. Celeste says, what do you think about using StreamYard to either do live? Okay, this is a question about StreamYard, to either do live or pre-record broadcasts on YouTube, Facebook, and LinkedIn. That's what we're doing right now, Celeste. So this is actually StreamYard, and we're broadcasting on YouTube and Facebook and LinkedIn. That is how I do it. I mean, you could use Ecamm as well, because I think you have a Mac. Lindsay and I, it's kind of like, you know, Android or Mac, iPhone. You know, or iPhone, right? So long as you're doing something regularly, don't get caught up in the tools. Some of the better ones, I mean, just get started. Like right now I could do things this way. I'm gonna bring up YB. So I could pull up YB this way. Okay. And then I could bring up Eva as well. You know, and so these are the things, they're part of Ready, Set, Go, Speak community. So these are the things that we could do with StreamYard versus if we were doing Zoom, it's not going to have these other kind of things. I can even put in, you know, Lindsay's probably going to freak out a little bit, but I could even put in like. So it's like a commercial. So StreamYard can do all the bells and
you're doing too much, Pam. So
what I'm just saying, it can't do a lot. I got all this stuff I can put in. I can put sound over here and applause.
But Pam?
Yes.
The right answer for Celeste is to identify her ideal client and figure out which social media platform is best for reaching her ideal client. And that's where she needs to show up. She don't need to worry about using StreamYard or any of the other tools to be on all of the platforms. She needs to figure out who is her ideal client, which one platform is the best for reaching them, and focus her efforts there. Because a lot of folks will hurt themselves trying to do what you're doing. You've been in business 30 years. You know what I'm saying? You've been
I keep myself excited.
Yeah, you a 30-year veteran. You have a very well-established business. You have all these connections and contacts. You're a seasoned business owner. People can't just do what you're doing. What works for you and what you're able to do is not what is good for them to even attempt to do. So for Celeste, I would say, don't worry about trying to be everywhere. Which is the one platform you need to be on? And that is determined by who is your ideal client. And if you don't know who that is, you got to focus on that. Answer that question. Understand who this person is you're trying to reach and where is the platform that's best for you to reach them, and focus your efforts there.
Mm-hmm. YB or Eva, either one of you all have a question for either Tony or a comment or a question to me or Lindsay? I know YB, your favorite platform is?
It's LinkedIn. And so my question for you, Tony, is what, you're getting a lot of love from Lindsay and Pam, so I'm not going to come with any more heat, but I would agree with what was shared, but what's your biggest challenge when it comes to LinkedIn?
I don't really use LinkedIn.
Okay. Is that by choice or is that by circumstance?
That's just not an area that I really picked up on with regards to it.
Okay.
I started in small business with regards to, I was a startup. So I hung out with the author speaker coaches and a lot of them were on Facebook I made good money on Facebook. And so I still make good money on Facebook. And even my referrals come from a client who was from Facebook. And then I went over to Instagram because, Facebook, it seems like it's a lot of family, friends, church folks. And so Instagram kind of works as well.
So I'll share this with, this is for everybody. It's not just for you, Tony, because obviously, if you make your decision to plant your flag on a particular platform, then, if it's working for you, I think the biggest challenge for most people is that they still see LinkedIn as a platform just for job seekers. And so it prevents them from getting the benefits of a billion person platform where companies are looking for resources, whether it's small businesses or big businesses or what have you. And so, I was able to promote you. I shared this link with my network of over 11,000 connections. And so what's gonna happen is somebody's gonna look at your profile. Wow. And they might be your ideal prospect, right? They might be the person that's able to cut that $5,000 check. The challenge for most people that are not active on LinkedIn is they'll miss that opportunity because they're not active on the platform. And so my encouragement, not only for you, but to others who are watching and listening, is to shift how we look at LinkedIn. A lot of times people don't use it because they're like, well, it's for professionals. And so I asked them, what are you? If you're a professional, then you should be in a place where other professionals are. But then I think the biggest challenge also is the fact that they may not know what to say or how to say it. And that's where, there's people in the community that can add value there. But I think for you, you're one connection away from being able to tap into those six clients a month that's paying you that $5,000. And so just being able to answer, because now what's happening is that people are looking people up on LinkedIn just to see if they're credible. That credibility is currency in a sense of, it's not about what you know or even who you know, it's who knows you. And you never get a second chance to make a first impression. So you've gotten some great information, and I'm glad Pam gave me an opportunity to share some insight.
Good. Thank you. One of the things too, Tony, I really love LinkedIn, not Facebook so much and not Meta, the whole Meta platform or whatever. It's kind of pay to play. You got to, people get, it's a whole nother thing. And then you get shut down. It's, but if you're making money there, that's fine. But I like LinkedIn. One, I have the premium LinkedIn. And so Eva asked, do you find that LinkedIn is starting to feel spammy? Well, I think what's happening now is people realize the value of LinkedIn. So more people are jumping on it and they don't have the right etiquette for it because LinkedIn is what I call the grown folks Facebook, right? So you really can read someone's resume on LinkedIn. And, say Fawn Weaver is one of the ones that I have a connection with on LinkedIn, first connection. And Fawn is Uncle Nearest. $1 billion alcohol company or hard liquor, whatever it is. Anyway,
Fawn,
it's whiskey, whatever. It's some kind of, is it whiskey? Yeah. And it's in Nashville or something. And I know her mom and first connections with her, but I would never spam her. I mean, that would be a good way for her to disconnect from me, right? I was like, hey, you know, you want to do, you know, it's just, you don't do that. You send a note truly by reading what someone is posting. And you do spend a little bit more time reading because people are more thoughtful there. I don't think they're as showy on LinkedIn as they would be on Instagram. Instagram is like a magazine, whereas LinkedIn is like, this is my resume. This is the work that I've done. This is a value that I'm adding, that part. It is getting spammy. Sometimes I'll get like messages in there before it's like, okay, I connect with Fred. And the next thing you know, Fred is trying to sell me something. I'm like, you know what, Fred, let me disconnect from you. This is not here. So it is more relationship building on LinkedIn. Facebook, just be careful with Facebook. It can be a lot of different things that are going on with Facebook. TikTok, you know, I have a opinion about TikTok. I use TikTok for fun. It's like my recreation. You find me dancing on TikTok, but very rarely am I going to get clients from TikTok, right? It's just something that Pam is just going to do. YouTube, I have gotten clients, and then I've gotten clients from LinkedIn. Do I have a presence on Instagram? Absolutely. I amplify any of my clients onto that platform, amplify them on Facebook. I did Black Door Society, amplify them on IG and Facebook today. It's an amplifier, but it is not the place for business development. So that's where you are. You're in business development. You want to get to the clients that are on LinkedIn, the presidents of companies. Major companies, they're not hanging out on Facebook. Like you said, a lot of friends and church members are on Facebook, but the ones that don't really know you, you can, what Celeste said, you can maybe use StreamYard and stream into YouTube and stream onto LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. You can also do audio if you don't want to do video, but the more people see you, the more comfortable they'll be with you as well. So Eva, yeah, that is, it's starting to get a little spammy, but you know, just like they have to learn the etiquette for it. I mean, they'll realize they're not getting any results and they'll stop spamming.
And I think the biggest thing, Eva, is just you don't be spammy, right? So like what other people's actions are, we don't adopt that. We don't leverage that, right? So we can leverage LinkedIn, even if it's not about us, to promote our clients. We have to realize that we can add so much more value to our clients than what we're actually giving them for what they're paying for, right? So imagine if we took our top 10 clients and we introduced them to their top clients, right? What if we began to focus on a giving campaign? I remember we did a LinkedIn recommendation challenge. What if we challenged ourselves to give 100 LinkedIn recommendations in 90 days, right? So that way that enhances the credibility of the people that we work with. And those things come back, you know, 100-fold because we've taken the focus off of us and we focus on others. And so the reason why it's become spammy is because people are focused on transaction and not transformation. And yeah. So we just want to stay away from transaction. We want to focus on transformation. And that's why the relationship development play is much more powerful, because when people know that you really care about getting to know them as a person and not what's in their pocket, they'll not only do business with you, but they'll expand your network to introduce you to their top 10 clients in their network that could benefit from what you do.
Mm-hmm. And Celeste says, great conversation. LinkedIn is one of the first places I look for info on people I work or consider working with before their website. So a lot of people will go to LinkedIn before a website. And the reason why is that, especially with recommendations, you can't put a recommendation on LinkedIn without that person approving it, right? They have to go through their own profile in order to put it up. Whereas our website, we can put anything we want on the website, right? I got this testimonial, this and that. Whereas on LinkedIn, you have to have gone through it's almost like a review, like a Yelp review. You have to have your own account. So those are the things as well. But I will say media is one of the things where you want to look at where your ideal client, that business owner, what they're reading, what industries they're in, and then maybe industry newsletters that they are reading. And because you have an expertise on legal, say if it's the teacher's industry, I don't know, whatever industry that you feel comfortable with, say if it's the music industry, it's the music industry. You can provide a column to a newsletter that goes out to artists so that they can understand who you are. And maybe an artist will hire you on a retainer. You see what I'm saying? Those kind of things, because now they know your expertise by providing it into their house organ, into their organization. And every group has an organization, and every group should have a conference, and every group has a newsletter, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's a physical newsletter or an online newsletter. Mm-hmm. And you have content. You're a content machine. You have a lot of information to share. And a lot of times when you're sharing your information, people's eyes are like wide open, like, oh my God, I didn't know that. So you just have to find the people who say, oh my God, I didn't know that. I need to hire you. That is really it. And by being in the right media outlets where people are actually paying attention to you. And yeah, I mean, you could still be on Instagram and Facebook, but I would reduce the amount of time to that and increase it in something else. Increase it on YouTube, increase it on a newsletter, direct mail pieces, media opportunities, even podcasts will help, because you have a lot of information that could be a half an hour or so of information. And so those are the places where I would spend the time. And then when you are on the podcast, send that podcast out to your email list, right? And the thing that you said that I didn't tell you is, like, I think build your email list so that when people do come to your email list, that they are actually, you're getting their email. And I think, I didn't put up your website because you didn't have that yet, but you're going to be putting that up soon. And something simple you can give to them is a tip sheet of how to stay out of legal trouble, you know, whatever the top 10 things that people are going to get in trouble with legally. Mm-hmm. That is something that they're going to download from you and then start to follow you. Yeah.
What questions do you have, Tony, about marketing? Because you right now, as I understand, as I hear it, you are not actively going after the clients that you want. They're coming to you via referral. You're not actively going out on a daily basis to get them. And if you want to hit your revenue target, that is what you're going to have to do. So what questions do you have about how to do that?
In my head, I'm realizing, well, I already knew that I was tacky. I'm just saying, when it comes to marketing and going out and things like that, because I didn't have a marketing strategy, so to speak, or whatever. But sometimes I get stuck because I feel like I don't have like the headlines or whatever. So instead of just saying something like business lawyer says blah, 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 I'm like, I kind of get stuck on like, well, how do I get people from, well, I mean, because I'm still on Instagram and Facebook. So from start to stop scrolling.
So
when it comes to legal issues.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is get off of Instagram and Facebook, because those are platforms where people go to scroll. And we're going to go to YouTube, which is where is a platform where people go to learn. So the first answer is to not try to compete in a platform that's where you're not good. Go to a platform where you're strong. So your strength is the information that you're going to be able to deliver in long format. That's YouTube. So there's somebody on YouTube searching for, it's the number two search engine in the world behind Google. YouTube's owned by Google. Somebody's on YouTube right now searching for legal advice. They're not on Instagram searching for legal advice. They're not on Facebook searching for answers to legal questions. They're on YouTube. So go to YouTube.
I would also say too, I'm looking at your website here. This is legallychic.com. You have courses. You've got four courses, one on business formation, one-on-one, nonprofit startup, trademark mastery, and estate planning and trust. You said enroll in our courses today. This right here, I don't know how many modules and things like that are in there, but I would say this is information that for the most part can be your YouTube strategy, right? That could be your YouTube strategy because you're giving out bite-sized information from those courses. And then they can hire you because it seems like when you're on the YouTube, I mean, when you're on the Instagram and you're on the Facebook, you're really talking to the people who will buy those courses, mm-hmm. but then they probably don't want to do the work to buy the course. They really want to hire you to do the work, but then you got the course. So what I'm saying is that to for you to showcase that you have this knowledge, this expertise, is to take that information that is in those courses, put it into a YouTube format, let people know who are looking for you that you have this information. They will hire you. The Facebook and the IG people, they may buy the course. I don't know how much your courses are, but are they selling? I mean, you know, are people buying them on a regular basis that will make your financial, you know, goal that you want to have every month? Or is it a struggle? I mean, I don't want people to struggle to try to sell a course when it's like, you know what, you could take that same information and then have someone give you a retainer.
Yeah, that was the struggle with regards to, like, I don't necessarily push the courses when I can just do a startup legal packet. Right. But they sell when people can't afford it. And they're like, oh, I can't afford it. But I don't ever want someone to be like, I can't afford it, so I'm just not going to be legal. Or I'm going to be vulnerable.
Not your problem. That is not your problem. You cannot save the world. There's a whole lot of people out here who can't afford you. So what you going to do?
Offer them the course, because the course is the do-it-yourself walkthrough. I mean, it's not me. But
there's going to be people who say they can't even afford that. Like, I looked at one of your websites, and there were like different offerings. Some of them were $97. There are people who are going to say, I can't afford that. So what you going to do?
Well, I mean, then that's not my problem.
Well, then there you go. That's what I'm saying. There's no, it doesn't, you're lowering the threshold for where you say it's not your problem. I'm saying raise it higher to where, yeah, you can have your premium offering, and then you have your courses that are available for people who cannot afford the premium offering. And if they can't afford that, like, at some point you've done all you can do.
Yeah.
And so what other questions do you have, Tony, about, cause you got to start, you got to go to YouTube. You're on the wrong platforms for what you're doing and who you're going after. You have to go to YouTube. So what questions do you have?
So even like going to YouTube, right? Because it sounds like, or maybe I'm missing it, it sounds like LinkedIn would be the CEOs and people who are retaining legal counsel, but it feels like, no, not LinkedIn.
Everybody's on LinkedIn. The people who you're targeting are on LinkedIn. People who have money and resources that they're trying to protect and grow are on LinkedIn. So don't define a little box and say those are the LinkedIn people and nobody else. Everybody's on LinkedIn.
Okay.
Everybody who you're targeting is on LinkedIn.
But if YouTube is the place to put have the conversation, like if I had a conversation on YouTube, then I'd also parlay that conversation on LinkedIn.
Yeah, you can take some legal topic and maybe it takes you 15 or 20 minutes to cover it. Mm-hmm. People will watch that video on YouTube. They're not going to watch that 20 minute video on LinkedIn, but you can take a 2 or 3 minute clip out of it and put it on LinkedIn, and some people will watch that and then come over to YouTube and watch the whole thing.
Oh, got it. I see. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
And the reason why I can't watch LinkedIn videos on my smart TV. I don't want to watch 20 minutes on my phone. So I will take a video and I'll watch 20 minutes on my TV from YouTube. It's like Netflix.
YouTube is the most shareable platform out of any of them. Mm-hmm. Everybody uses YouTube. So if there's a link, you know, your YouTube video has a link, I can send that to anybody and they're going to be able to watch it. Everybody's not on Facebook. Everybody's not on LinkedIn. Everybody's not on Instagram. And sharing links from those platforms doesn't work as easily and simply as it does sharing a YouTube. You know, nobody's ever sent out a YouTube link and the person clicked on it and couldn't get it. Like, that's, if you want maximum shareability, YouTube is where you go.
Ah. There's one last question, and Michael Nguyen, he's part of Ready, Set, Go Speak Community. So what I'm going to do, Michael, is I'm going to write a post about that. His question is, so how would you go about asking or connecting with event planners who may be looking for speakers of certain activities on LinkedIn? Educational industry recommends targets on LinkedIn. So basically, what if you're a member of Ready, Set, Go Speak, I'll be addressing that particular question, Michael, so that you can have that information on how to really connect. And a lot of my clients are on LinkedIn. They're in different groups, and the event planners are looking for them. So I will put some of those links in there so you can have that as well.
So, I have one quick question. Lindsay, what's a sweet spot when it comes to timing?
Everybody asks that. There is no sweet spot. It doesn't matter the joke. Like, I work with chefs. They ask me that all the time. How long should my video be? How long is the recipe? Is it a 10-minute recipe, or is it a 20-minute recipe, or is it a 5-minute recipe? So some of your videos are going to be 5 minutes long. Some of them are going to be 20 or 30 minutes long. Some of them are going to be 60 seconds. You can use shorts for that. Make 60-second vertical, like, here's your quick daily legal tip or something like that. So there is no right length. There just isn't.
There is a thing too. Celeste just asked a little bit about monetization. So in terms of monetization on YouTube, I think it's almost like 1,000 subscribers, maybe it's 700 now, I'm not really sure, but it was between 600 and 1,000 subscribers. But then those subscribers also have to have watch time hours. So that's where the longer form of a video would comes in, because you want more watch time. So sometimes people are going to say, well, you need 20 minutes or whatever. But that's where that comes in. If you're trying to use YouTube as your monetization vehicle, right? So then you will have longer videos and that sort of thing. So, but you do need about 4,000 hours, watch hours on your channel in order for YouTube to pay you. And you need so many subscribers. So that's where people are looking at, like, well, how long should it be and that kind of stuff. So that's where that comes in. So when I say monetization of YouTube, will send you checks. So we have some people that we know, Dr. Kawana, one of my clients, she gets paid about $10,000 a month from doing her YouTube videos. Now she's teaching government contracting and she's getting clients from that. But while she's doing that, she's also getting money from YouTube just from doing YouTube. Okay, so that's because she's got the subscribers and the hours, and that comes together where she's getting that just generating, and it goes up the longer she has, the more videos she does, the more money she gets. So anyway, so yeah,
so it's that's the best paying platform.
Yeah, that's a whole nother strategy for something as well. But we're right at 3 o'clock. We're at 3:03. Tony, you have a great time next week. I invite you to join Ready, Set, Go Speak. When you join Ready, Set, Go Speak, you get PR as well. So automatically when you join Ready, Set, Go Speak, you get to get in the magazines, you get podcasts and things like that. So, and then I also make sure that all of you all get speaking opportunities that I share with you, RFPs, call for speakers, and, you know, you're getting into media outlets that you normally wouldn't get in because I give you the contacts. So anyway, that's one of the things about Ready, Set, Go Speak. And I answer your questions too. Like, I'm going to answer Mike's as well as soon as we get done with this as well. But you have a good time in Paris.
Thank you. Thank you so much for this information. Now to go and implement the information.
Good. All righty. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Tony. And I will welcome you over at Ready, Set, Go Speak. You know we're there. All right. Take care. Right. Bye-bye. All right. So that is our hot seat today. Tony is heating up here. But one of the things that about being in Ready, Set, Go Speak, when you're part of the community, we introduce you to people who could be your customers and your clients, and also too the community. Some people in your community can also be your customer and clients because they get to know you better. So with that, Lindsay, thank you so much. Partners. Yes,
strategic. More importantly, partners. They will meet strategic partners, people who can connect you to the people, to your ideal client.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That is it. And relationships are everything. in business. It really is. It really is. So ReadySetGoSpeak.com. Take a look at that. And I will see you all next Friday on the hot seat. If you want to be a part of the hot seat, just put a down here in the comments, and then I can send your application. We'll review it and see if you want to be a part of the show. All righty. Take care. I'm Pam Perry, and I'm out. Thank you.